Did you see it last night? Did you see it?
We'll be talking a lot about it. As I said, welcome to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, and I am joined in the studio once again today by Mike McBath, chairman of the board, who's got a whole lot to say about last night and just about anything else.
Oh, I know. I'm excited about it. Now, I didn't make it to the final questions. You know, we did the best we can.
Yeah, real quick, it doesn't seem like this mic is working. It seems like it is? Okay, all right. I just guess it's just not sounding right in my headphones. Anyway, Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge, the battle bridge once again, because we are still in the alternate studio. The Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio is still undergoing repairs, but that shouldn't stop you from calling my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399 for the very best in Mercury Free General Dentistry and Health Center Dentistry. And don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. We also have in the studio with us today from a great new organization that he has started called Veritance, and that would be, of course, our very own John L. Casey, Veritance Corporation. John L. Casey, how you been?
Good to be back with you under Veritance and the new mission ahead. Looking forward to the next few years of talking about science, climate, space program, and other new issues.
And we're going to be talking about that a little bit tonight, too. And you got your new website up?
Yes, indeed.
All right. So we'll be telling you where you can go visit Veritance Corporation. And he's also brought in a press release for us today. So we'll go over that, all that sort of stuff here in just a moment. But because we are here and we are live again today, you can give us a call at 407-774-8255. If you have any particular thoughts on the debate last night, I'd love to hear them. Of course, we have our own particular thoughts on the debate last night. Now we know what Jeb's excuse is. We found that out last night. We know that Trump was right. I hate to say it about Carly. She gave us that face last night. I'll talk about that. Bill O'Reilly characterized it as the ticked off look. As I've said before, Donald Trump was actually supported in his arguments by other candidates more than anybody else on the stage last night. In other words, Rand Paul backed him up twice.
Well, I think what happens is if they see Donald fading, you know, Donald has a big pocketbook, right? If he's fading, maybe he can come back across and save him down the road once he's eliminated.
Well, we'll talk about
that. I'd be very close friends to Donald.
We'll talk about that and what I mean by that here in just a minute. We definitely saw a lot of projecting of authenticity last night. I don't think any of the candidates really did themselves any harm, but I don't think, but maybe two, maybe three candidates actually really helped themselves last night. And I'll give my take on things, and then, of course, Mike was watching, and you as well, if you'd like to give us your perspective on that. And we found the source of a new contest.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
If you were listening toward the end of the debate last night, if you were still awake at that time, and we'll talk about the length and how it came to be 3 hours. But Jake Tapper, it was the Jake Tapper Show, as it turned out last night, asked three sort of quick questions at the end. And the one question kind of asked them for their closing remarks by posing a particular question to them rather than just say, give us your closing remarks. But one of the quick questions he said was a lighthearted question was, should you become president, what do you think the Secret Service should give you as its code name? And Reagan's code name was, all of a sudden it's escaped my mind. I want to say Cimarron. It was something to that effect.
CTE, Chris. That should be yours.
It is. So they went down the line and asked each candidate what they thought their own Secret Service code name should be. And there were a couple that were pretty good. There were some corny ones. When it got to Jeb Bush, for instance, he said his code name should be the Energizer.
Actually, that, for him, that was very creative. I'm surprised. I just about wonder if he knew the question, because I can't believe he could have been that quickly to respond with that answer.
I wouldn't be surprised if they had been tipped off to that particular question.
Okay. But you know what?
But
you're right.
Still, it was still.
But that was good.
It was the only problem for Jeb is that one's already taken.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know who is called the Energizer by the Secret Service?
Well, I know a bunny is.
You're real close. Bill Clinton's girlfriend is called the Energizer.
Yeah, she was his.
That blonde down the street up to Chappaqua there. And I'm not kidding.
Oh, that's great. The Energizer. Yeah.
So that, nonetheless, it was Rawhide. Thank you, Nick. Mm-hmm. His Reagan's code name was Rawhide.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy's was Rainbow. And they give both the first lady and the president. And,
right.
And I forget what Obama's is. But they went and, oh, they went and
I
got
can think
the,
of a lot
now,
for him.
Now, and the one with the Energizer from Jeb, that was his best line of the whole night, I must say. And it actually got him not a high five, but a low five from Donald Trump.
He stepped up.
And then got to Trump. He said his should be humble.
Presenting themselves in a different way.
Right,
you know?
And Rubio's should be Gator, Florida Gators.
Florida Gator.
He's a Gator.
Not too original.
Yeah, so we're going to have to hold our own contest, right?
I agree, Chris.
We come up with some Secret Service names for the candidates. Now, I don't know if we have time to do this today, but I'm just going to throw out a few ideas so you folks can work on it, right? Now, if I were to give Hillary Clinton, for instance, a Secret Service code name, I've already told you what that would be. Pear.
I told you, Chris, you're picking on her physical appearance.
Spelled P-E-A-R. You know what I mean? Donald Trump's would be Moby Dick, and Carly Fiorina's would be Smoke. You know why I call her Smoke?
No.
Because where there's smoke, there's fire,
baby.
And she came with the fire last night. All right, let's go to Rick first, and then I'll give my take on all the debates. Rick, what'd you think last night?
Well, since you made the comment about the face, I think I have to come to Carly's defense. I don't think I really have to defend her from you, but when you know with that serious face, I think it's appropriate when you're speaking about the Planned Parenthood fiasco, when you're speaking about death to America, Iran, when you're speaking about the decimation of our military forces, when you're speaking about all the disasters that this current administration has wrought on our nation. So, you know, it's just how could you smile when you comment on those or
well was
or,
she
or
was she commenting
your views
was
on
she,
those on those
was,
issues.
Was she commenting,
you just can't smile.
Was she commenting on those things all night long? In other words, did she bring up those specific things each question? What the Trump's point was, and why I say
I can barely hear you. I don't know why, but
can you hear me better now?
No,
Rick, can you hear me better now?
No, I heard your screener very well, but
Rick, let me ask you: can you hear me?
Can you?
Mike McBath.
No, I can barely hear you. I know you're speaking to me, but I can barely hear you.
All right. Well, I'd like to keep you on the line, but if you'd rather get off the line where you can hear better, I understand that. But I'd rather keep you on the line because. Let me respond, and hopefully you can hear what I say. I believe that the point that Trump was making, and where I agree with him. And by the way, I'm not the only one who noticed this. As I said, Bill O'Reilly said she had the ticked-off look all night long. And this morning I heard a couple of pundits say it would be nice if she could break it up with a smile every now and then. She looks constantly like she's lecturing sixth-grade students. And she needs to crack a smile every now and then. For instance, I thought that when she laid that line on Trump about the face, which I thought was the most effective line of the whole night, that if she'd have smiled, it would have come across a little better. Instead, the camera cut to her, and she pulled those lips tight, and she bobbed her head, and she looked every bit like the PO'd wife or girlfriend, which is fine, but let me just say this. You're going to have to be a little bit more friendly than that to be elected president of the United States.
Chris, another thing, too, is when you look at this split screen situation, I don't know if they all were aware of it. I would assume they would be. But even I had to laugh every time Trump would look over. He looked like a little bit of a weirdo, you know, in the sense that maybe they didn't know they were on split screen. I can't believe they wouldn't know that. But I think in her case, and I do believe a stern look is relatively the right look when you're discussing national defense, your abortions, et cetera.
Sure.
I think when she fired that shot on about her face, I think she could have smiled after the answer. And then I also think, knowing I would be on split screen, I would try to keep at least a reasonable smile on my face, because as they keep shooting across into me. But I think, you know, look at Hillary, right? I mean, there's a dog face, she couldn't look good no matter what happens.
Well, let me just say this. The biggest loser last night, the biggest loser was Hillary Clinton. And the reason being that we finally got to see what a smart, competent
woman,
exactly, who knew her game, who knew her game plan, and stuck to it. And clearly she was one of the winners last night. In my opinion, Carly Fiorina was clearly one of the winners. The other winner, I believe, last night was Donald Trump. And I believe that because it was basically 10-1. And I would say 11-1 if you want to include Jake Tapper. And he held his own. And he kept going back to his message. What you can criticize his message all day long. I hear Michael Medved making fun, you know, saying, oh, he never says anything. He doesn't know anything. Well, of the two men, Michael Medved and Donald Trump, which one is the more successful in life? Let's face it.
Obviously, there's one that sits in the sidelines and observes, and there's one that's out on the field playing.
And making the big bucks and making the big plays.
Right? Yeah, nice comment, Michael.
Right.
You know, get a job.
Yeah, and all he's setting himself up for is a lot of frustration should Donald Trump carry this thing through and get the nomination, which is still a big if. And we all got to face that. But as I'm looking at that stage last night, I'm thinking to myself, if not Trump, who and why?
Well, Chris, one thing, and maybe you'll agree or not, but, you know, Carly has what I call the iron spine. I mean, this lady will confront anything. We can see this. She'll confront Trump. She'll really love to confront Hillary. And I just think, you know, and also I like her bold projection. You know, she's standing on her two feet, looking right at you and telling, here's the story. Yep. This is why what we need to do or what we need
but
to change.
She could take a page from Margaret Thatcher.
Right.
Margaret Thatcher smiled. Okay. She needs to do more smiling. She needs to show a lighter side, if you will. You know, this heavy dose of seriousness is, yes, appropriate at times, but not all the time. And being smart and competent and strong are definitely great qualifications, but they are not all of the qualifications that is required of a president. And one of the qualifications that's required of a president is to be able to get people to willingly follow you, joyfully follow you.
That's a good word for this, joyfully follow you.
Yep.
And you know what, but also give her, I think she's going to do a heck of a lot more public speaking now, and I think she'll certainly enhance her presentation physically and facially and everything else. So I think, you know, she'll come along. I'm not that concerned about that.
I think she'd make a great Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
And I would consider Lindsey Graham as a Secretary of Defense.
Boy, he actually came on very strongly. That was the best I think I've ever seen him do a presentation.
It was. If he would do interviews like that, he would be way ahead of the game. But when he does interviews, you think, God, what's this guy been smoking? He's so laid back and mellow.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, as I said, everybody projected authenticity. I don't think anybody hurt themselves. But the only people I think that really helped themselves are Fiorina, Trump, and Rubio in that order. And we'll see with Rubio, though, because Rubio has left such a bad taste in people's mouth, you know, siding with the establishment and everything. And as I predicted before in these debates, Trump was the one that other candidates recognized as being right on certain points. Bobby Jindal recognized him in the first debate as being right about the mood of the electorate, if you will. The natives are restless amongst the Republican Party attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And when Carly Fiorina was arguing with him over immigration, saying, anchor babies is in the Constitution, that's all there is to it. Well, no, it's not.
No,
it is not. And there's not been any legal decision saying that the child of illegal immigrants is a citizen of the United States. And Rand Paul backed Trump up on that one. Rand Paul backed Trump up also on the inoculation thing.
Right.
As did Ben Carson.
Right.
And believe me, Ben Carson and all these great scientists out there may think that autism has nothing to do with these inoculations, but try telling that to a parent. And I know them myself, who have had normal children until they got this barrage of inoculations and all of a sudden their child is autistic. Try convincing them that there is no correlation.
It does seem like Ben was on the fence, though. I mean, in fact, he would agree, even though he gave another thought toward it. He must be on the fence.
Well, he recognized that Trump was right.
Right.
That at the very least, we are improperly injecting these inoculations into our children. They're good little bits at a time, but not all at once. You know, it's like trying to gorge. It's like you want to grow up big and strong, so you're going to eat everything today.
Or take all your steroids
today,
at once.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're kidding. Don't.
All right. Kathy's on the line. We'll go ahead. I know that we've already run way past the time, but let's go ahead and take. All right. Let's take the break, and then we'll get to Kathy after the break. And your call as well at 407-774-8255. Did Carly give us that look last night? You call and tell me if I'm wrong. I think she did. Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry owns and operates a state-of-the-art service center. Because you drive a Mercedes, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you'll find at Jerry's. When you need expert maintenance or repair work and want it at the best price, call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. They'll have your Mercedes humming while you skip those high dealer rates. For the dealership alternative, call 407-366-6499. Jerry'sMB.com.
David Levitt here from Refresh Computers. We provide peace of mind about your network and critical data. Let Refresh Computers be your on-site IT services company. We're the experts and we'll come to you. Call 407-478-8200 or refreshcomputers.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, Legal Immigrants for America would like to invite you, your family, and your friends to any of three exclusive engagements featuring Pastor Rafael Cruz, father of GOP presidential candidate Senator Ted Cruz, on Saturday, September 26th at 6 p.m. and Sunday, September 27th at 9:30 a.m. Pastor Cruz will be speaking on God and Countries at Aloma Church, located at 1815 State Road 436 in Winter Park. Both of these events are free, but you do need to pre-register. Then again on Sunday, September 27th, you can have lunch with Pastor Cruz at the Tuscaloosa Country Club. The cost is only $25 per person, and like the free events, you do need to pre-register. So don't be left out. Pre-register now by going to golifa.com, that's G-O-L-I-F-A.com, or at Eventbrite. This could be the opportunity of a lifetime to meet the father of a possible future president. So go to golifa.com today.
Money, 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 money.
Of course, that's Donald Trump's music. That's what they play, used to play anyway, on the WWE as he would come down the ramp. And he said this morning that Vince McMahon would have loved it last night. It was a WWE-type event. Of course, we say that all politics is like professional wrestling.
Again, Chris, we're ahead of our time.
You got
because
it.
Of our relationship to the thought. So, good
you
job.
And just real quickly, for whatever they're worth, we have some overnight polls. I'll give you some real quick now. We'll take a phone call. and then Mike's going to give you some a little bit later on. This is an overnight online poll that you go online and register your vote. And Time Magazine's online poll overnight has it Donald Trump won with 65% of the vote. Carly Fiorina came in second with 15%. Jeb Bush came in third with 5%, and no one else got over a point. Drudge shows it also, Trump winning 60-plus votes. So whatever that's worth. But let me just say this. After the first debate, Trump was shown on these online polls as being a winner. And just look at the polls after that. Doesn't mean it'll happen again.
Chris, one quickie. Do you think, though, when you go in and listen to somebody, if I want this guy to be my guy, I'm so prejudiced toward him that unless you were so awesome, you won't take me off my vote.
And that's why I think that Trump was a winner last
night. That's what I'm saying is I think there's, let's say, a major built-in bias by the individuals because he was leading anyway.
Yeah, and he didn't do anything to really hurt himself.
Right.
Now Hugh Hewitt did say, and he used my metaphor of Donald Trump and the Ahabs, that Carly did stick a harpoon in him, and it stayed. Yeah. And I think he was right. But I think it would have been more effective, once again. It's like when Reagan would deliver a line against one of his opponents, it always came with a little chuckle and smile.
Oh, yeah.
Did. Yeah. She's learning.
Okay. All right.
She's learning.
Well, let's go to Kathy. Kathy, thank you for calling. I got you a minute now, but if you don't have enough time, we'll hold you over. But thank you for calling, Kathy. We appreciate you being out there.
Okay.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Good. The debate last night, I think one of the best ones was Carly Fiorina. She is very thorough. She's very passionate. She was one of my top ones.
No doubt.
I think they should have been less bickering. I think they were purposely questioned so that they can attack each other. I think they shouldn't have fallen for that, and they should just say, listen, I'm not here to compare myself with whatever, but my point is whatever. I think there was too much going back and forth. I like the fact that Carly Fiorina explained in pretty detail what abortions are like, because a lot of people don't really realize the development of the fetus. That was a really good point.
Yeah, she was strong.
In there, I mean, they all had their good points.
You did.
More than others. I think any of them could replace any of the wing nuts that are in D.C. right now.
You're absolutely right about that. Kathy, if you want to stay with us, because I want to respond to some of your points. We're taking a break. Stay with us. Your other phone caller, stay with us as well. We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all, this is Sam Houston, professional wrestler. Anyway, I just wanted to take a minute of your time and say, hey, if you need to get up to date on your views and issues and everything else, listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer. These guys got it going on. Trust me.
That's right, folks. You can trust us. All right. Welcome back to the show. I am Christopher Hart, along with Mike McBath, the chairman of the board, and John Casey. He's here today, and we will be talking about his brand new venture called Veritense. And I'm looking forward to talking about that. And we still have Kathy on the line. And I definitely will agree that Carly Fiorina had a very strong performance last night. And I'm not certainly wanting to take anything away from that. But... you know, there's a little bit more to politics than you know, having all the facts and figures. That's what I'm trying to say here. Having said that, I thought the best, if you will, the most gripping part of the debate last night was when she challenged Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi, I should say, and Barack Obama. To watch this video or these videos. And by the way, the White House has announced that Barack Obama has not watched any of the Planned Parenthood videos. I thought that was the most compelling moment of the night. But John had an observation about Carly and the lack of smiling.
Thanks, Chris. I will tell you that if you go back in time and look at when she began as a secretary, eventually became the head of a major U.S. technology corporation.
Right.
And during the time that she rose through the ranks, she learned the standard back then, which was if you're a woman, you have to have a stern look. You have to be serious at all times. No laughing, no joking, smiling, no place for that in the corporate world. That was the mantra back then. If you wanted to go up, you had to be grim-faced and stern. I recognize that that training is now going to have to be modified because she's now in a political world, as you pointed out. But I'm not at all surprised with how she's coming across, and publicly, I have liked her since day one.
Yeah. Hey, John, one interesting point, and I always get a kick out of this when people say, well, she started as a secretary, and then she moved to this, and they forgot one thing. She is a Stanford graduate.
I didn't hold that against her.
I started as a secretary, but I actually graduated from Harvard.
Yeah, well, Stanford, yeah. So
I mean, they seem to leave that out.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said, but that is actually her career path, and I do agree with you because, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, and that is the direction that women had to take at this particular juncture. So maybe that is reflective of her, you know, facial expression.
I'm sympathetic to that. But I'm simply saying that in politics, that's just not quite enough to win the election at the end of the day. And you may say, well, that's no good. Well, that's the reality of the situation. You're dealing with people and their emotions and whether they're comfortable with you or not. And all of these little things can make a big difference. Kathy, are you still there with me?
Yes, I am. And as far as what you're saying about her actions, as far as being really serious, you have to realize that she is in competition with 10 men. And you don't want to put off that if you smile or laugh too much that people won't take you as serious. You have to be almost more serious than you would be if you were competing against 10 females.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, it was 1 against 10 for her, and it was 1 against 10 for Trump. And I think they both acquitted themselves very well last night. And I think the polls will reflect that. But I agree with you. Certainly anybody on that stage and either in the pre-debate or the main show, would be head and shoulders above this crowd in Washington, D.C. right now. There's no question in my mind about that. As a matter of fact, during the night, as I was thinking, you know, what perhaps could be a role for some of these other people like Carly Fiorina? Would she not make it onto the ticket? As I said, I think she would be an excellent Secretary of State. She would show
a lot of them would be very good in different positions.
And you know where I would like to see Ted Cruz? I know it would be near impossible to get him to this position, but as the Senate Majority Leader. Because then you would see some action in the Senate. And then you know what I would do with Ted Cruz? The first time a Supreme Court nomination came open, I would put him on the Supreme Court.
Oh, good idea.
I'd like to see him as Attorney General.
That would be great, too. Yeah, name him as Attorney General first and then put him on the Supreme Court.
Straighten the country out big time.
Yeah.
And then on Carly's case, I would actually like to see her learn a laugh like Hillary. Wrong.
But nonetheless, you know, she's going to. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but there's a time and a place for everything. And every now and then, you got to show when you're going to crack a joke, which in essence is what she did. I don't know if a joke is the right word, but it was a gotcha moment. She should sort of acknowledge in a lighthearted way, and that kind of takes a little bit of the edge off of it for her, and it still stings for him. So, his response, a lot of people are criticizing me. He says, I think Carly has a beautiful face and she's a beautiful woman. And it just made me think, you know, what we just saw was kind of like a little, if you will, spat where the man angers the woman. She expresses her anger and he realizes, there's nothing I can say other than you're beautiful, baby.
and
get out of here because it's like a tire fire. If you try to put water on it, it's just going to burn hotter.
Make your statement and shut up.
That's exactly right. So, hey, Kathy, thanks for being out there.
Wait a minute. Can I make a comment about the immunization?
Yes.
First of all, my kids are 2 kids in their early 30s. And when they were little, they had probably one-third the amount of immunizations that are out there for kids today because I also now have grandkids, and I'm seeing how many immunizations they get.
Yeah.
And I told my daughter, I'm in the medical field, she is not. I told her, do not let them give all the shots, immunizations at one time. And she's going with that. And, this, you know, there's a lot of facts out there, whether or not, you know, autism is caused by it. We're not sure. It looks like it could be that way, no matter what these people with higher education say.
Right. And
I know there's some places like California where they're trying to require kids to have these immunizations or they can't go to school.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of stuff out there, but also there's a lot of kids. It's been facted that they come from Central America with a lot of diseases, which makes our kids more susceptible, like that one that they had that was about a year or two ago that affected the extremities, and they had lack of neurological responses, and that came from Central America.
Right, as a part of that massive illegal migration. You're right. But at the end of the night,
all the immunizations at one time, I think they need to be scattered. And like I said, there's three times as many as there used to be.
And there's where Trump was right. He was giving the nation good advice in that debate last night. People can question whether autism is caused by, but everybody cannot disagree with the fact that the man was giving the nation good advice. And there's another thing, too, in that little tit for tat between he and Carly Fiorina over the illegal immigration and anchor babies. I hate to say this, but this was, I thought, her lowest point of the night, because she was standing there saying, we can't do this and we can't do that. And it gave Donald Trump the opportunity to say, oh, yes, we can. And that, once again, I think is setting him apart. He has this positive, yes, we can do this. And anybody that says, no, we can't, is not going to win that debate with him. Kathy, thank you so very much for being with us tonight. I appreciate that. Let's go now to Craig. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, Chris, yes, we can. Didn't somebody run on that?
Well, you know,
they're gonna come up with another three.
As a matter of fact, Trump has been taking some heat from some conservative pundits because he's quote unquote doing what Obama did. Well, let me tell you, yes, Obama used a positive affirmative campaign to get himself elected. Guess what? President of the United States. It worked for Barack Obama. If it can work for Barack Obama, if it can work for Ronald Reagan, it can work for one of these guys too. And that's what Donald Trump is showing them.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can take Craig's call next. Craig, thank you for holding so long.
Hey, thank you much. How are you guys doing this evening?
Good.
Excellent.
I've been listening, and one thing struck me last night early on. When they went down and introduced themselves, and I've been listening to Carly Fiorina speak, you know, numerous times over the last few weeks. She keeps saying that nobody knows who she is. And when they put the microphone in front of her and turned the camera on, she stood there and didn't say anything for, I don't know, it seemed like 3 to 5 seconds. And I don't know, it seemed like she was kind of starstruck or... Did she do that? Does anybody know? Did anybody hear anything? And she never said her name.
Well, what Craig is referring to is the very start of the debate. They were going down, and there were a couple of them that looked like they were either not quite sure if they should start or not. I don't know if there was a producer in front of them off camera that was pointing to them, now's your moment, and they were waiting or something. But it did seem a little odd for a couple of them. And you know what? I thought her most bizarre moment was the last thing that she was talking about, because and a lot of the candidates did not answer the very last question. Donald Trump did, and several of them did. The question was roughly this. The plane behind you was Air Force One. Ronald Reagan did all these things in the world, and when he left the presidency, the world was a different place. What would you like the world to be like after you leave the presidency? And so it was supposed to be, say, the world is going to be more peaceful. And like Donald Trump said, we will be respected in the world. We will be liked in the world. And she comes off with this some sort of soliloquy about the Statue of Liberty and Lady Justice.
That was kind of strange.
It just totally lost me. I don't know where she was going.
But you know what,
that.
Chris, I wonder, because she's smart enough. There's just so many questions they can ask you, right? You know, in the sense of about, our international and about finances. But when you throw her really off, then there might be a problem. Because remember, that question is not one, no matter how you try to anticipate what would be told you, she would have never been able to review that.
Yeah.
And I do think she's a big-time homework person.
Oh, obviously.
Big time.
Obviously, this woman works hard and studiously to prepare herself, which is why I think there's a place for her in the administration. Should it be a Republican administration? Let's go. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate you being out there. Let's go to Don next. Don, thank you for calling.
Hey, I tell you, it's been a couple of months since I've called, basically. I watched Carly Fiorina being interviewed by Sean Hannity on his television program back, I think it was the first interview she had. And I called you guys the next day and said, hey, you guys need to watch this cow. She is, she is top notch. Yeah. And ever since then, I have I've been telling everybody that I know, she, I'd like to see her at the top of the ticket with Carlos, with a Rubio, Marco Rubio on her, as her VP.
Yeah.
And those two last night did me proud.
Well, I thought pretty much everybody on the stage did a good job. Obviously, some better than others. Part of the problem is, once again, we didn't actually see a debate last night. We saw this, as Kathy said earlier on the phone call, it was more this gotcha trying to get you to argue. Practically every question out of Jake Tapper's mouth was, okay, Mr. Bush, Mr. Trump said this about you. Do you want to respond to that? Okay, Ms. Fiorina, Mr. Trump said this about you. Do you want to respond to that? Okay, Mr. Carson, Mr. Trump said this to you. You want to respond to that? And there was, it was better than Fox, but I got to say, not a whole lot. And where was Hugh Hewitt? He should have been much more involved in this. Dana Bash. They were actually asking, well, Hugh Hewitt more than Dana, but there were. Here's how they, in my opinion, should hold a debate. First of all, you don't have that many people to start with. 2 hours is plenty. 3 hours was I bet you by the time it got to be around 10:30, most of the audience, television audience, had turned out, tuned out. Only the diehards like me and Mike McBath were still watching.
The sickos.
The sickos, that's right. But basically, you ask a question, and you go down the line, and you let each and every candidate respond to that particular question, and then maybe let them mix it up. And that way, by golly, we'll actually know what each candidate, where his stance is on an issue. And then, by gosh, we could actually compare them to one another. After last night, I know where Trump stands on immigration. I kind of know where Fiorina stands on immigration. I haven't really a clue where Kasich, Walker, Christie, Rand Paul, even Ben Carson. I really have no clue where they stand on immigration. And you can name any issue, and I would tell you, well, I know what this person thinks about it, but I'd have no clue what they think. John Casey's in here. The question about global warming last night went to Marco Rubio, and basically that was it. And there was Ted Cruz. You could hear him off camera going, hey, I've got an opinion here. I want to chime in. Oh, I'm sorry. We got to move on, Jake Tapper's saying. So now we know what one man thinks about climate change last night. Wow, we can really make a decision based on that, can't we? By the way, Donald Trump said this morning he thinks that climate change, the global warming, there's nothing to it. It's a farce. All this is the weather changing patterns. So we should have found that out last night. It was not a debate. And in that sense, all we found out last night was who is good at arguing with their peers over petty issues. And only when the candidates stepped up and took the initiative, like Carly Fiorina did, like Chris Christie did, like John Kasich tried to do, only when they stepped up and tried to take over the debate did we actually get to hear what they thought about a real deal issue. I mean, why is it that these doggone moderators have to be such a part of the action? Why can't they sit back and let the candidates actually tell us what they think about substantive issues? And then the next day we hear from the likes of Michael Medved, well, Trump didn't say nothing last night about this and that and the other thing. Well, when was he ever asked about this or that or the other thing? You know, these things are farces if you want to call it a debate. If you want to call it something else, an inquisition maybe, it's more close to the accurate
Chris,
depiction.
Chris, I do know why they want to get involved, the narrators. 23 million viewers.
Well, as a matter of fact, mentioning that,
I'm serious about that.
The debate was extended from 9 o'clock to 11 last night to 8 to 11 by CNN about a week ago. And I guarantee you, I'll bet you a dime to a dollar that Donald Trump is right. Why? Because they were selling ads like they had never sold ads before. So they wanted to sell more advertising time. And it was because it was Donald Trump's debate to lose.
Fabulous exposure.
Yeah.
I mean, this is phenomenal for the channels.
Yeah,
Chris, let me echo Don's comment. I also saw that interview way back when between Fiorina and Hannity.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right. She was a shining example of a future candidate back then.
You know,
so, Don, my hat's off to you for bringing that up.
Well, real quick, and then I'll let you throw that out. I have to take my hat off to my brother. 4 years ago, my brother said Carly Fiorina should be running for president of the United States. All right, go ahead.
Well, I also mentioned that to my wife, and before this debate began, which I did not see last night, I saw the start of it, but I told my wife in advance, I said, honey, this is being structured by CNN, and I'll tell you right off the bat, when they tried to prohibit Fiorina from being in the debate altogether, don't forget that happened.
Right.
We all know that she is one of the most potent forces to debate Hillary Clinton and to stand up against Hillary Clinton. I said, that is why CNN doesn't want her in there.
Yeah.
Secondly, I said, before this debate begins, honey, I believe CNN's going to structure this. So basically, they turn it into a catfight. They want to show to the rest of the world a false image that the Republicans don't like each other, they don't know what they're doing, and they're just angry people. And I think that's what was behind how that ran. I walked out when I saw that my prediction was coming true. Another correct prediction.
From John Casey, John L. And by the way, Kasich said, I believe it was Kasich said as much. He said, you know, if I was watching this on television, I'd have turned it off by now. And that's right. Blinded me with science. John L. Casey's theme music. He's in here doing the moonwalk right now. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. 407-774-8255 is the number. Let's go to Rick. Rick, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Oh, good. Hey, yes. Chris, you're absolutely right. Ted Cruz should be a Supreme Court nominee. Mike, you're wrong. He should not be AG. That goes to Trey Gowdy.
That's not a bad idea. I'll tell you, I'll be convinced when they have our Hillary's in the room with them. If he doesn't rip her apart, then we'll cancel his position.
And he's been ripping her apart all along.
Well, I want to see real damage done this time.
They're worrying about Guam tipping over and onto Hillary, so he's been covering for her sorry butt.
Yeah.
And as far as Secret Service code name for, how about for Chris Christie, we give him Mr. Creosote.
Creosote? That's what you soak railroad ties with, isn't it?
Did you ever see Monty Python's Meaning of Life?
I think I did.
Mr. Creosote, where he says, we have a fiend meat, and then he eats it and explodes.
Oh, that's right.
Mr. Creosote for Chris Christie.
Yeah, I like the Michelin tire man, but that works good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he could really be up for some abuse with a body like that, I could tell you
but
that.
But you know what? I thought he did pretty good last night.
As far as Hillary Clinton, how about giving her Iron Maiden?
Iron Maiden?
That would be good.
Iron Maiden.
You know what that is.
Yes.
That would be good.
Oh, yes.
Very much so. Yeah.
All right, Rick, we appreciate you. We're going to run that contest. We're not going to do it tonight because we want to take some time and do this right. But we're going to set it up next week. We'll run that contest, and you can certainly enter those code names. What he's talking about, folks, if you missed it earlier in the show last night, one of the last questions was, if you do make it to be president, what would you like the Secret Service code name for you to be? For Ronald Reagan, for instance, it was Rawhide. There were several good ones. The two best were Jeb Bush when he said Energizer. Unfortunately, it's already taken by Bill Clinton's girlfriend. And the other was Humble by Donald Trump. So at least he shows he does have a sense of humor. And all in all, as I said, I don't think anyone really hurt themselves last night. Unfortunately, for most of them, I don't think they really helped themselves either. Donald Trump, I think, helped himself in the sense that he survived the attacks. Carly Fiorina clearly helped herself, and Marco Rubio seems to have helped himself, too. But can it stick? I mean, he looked pretty good in the last debate, and all he did was go down in the polls.
Chris, you remember, which we saw earlier today, that one poll by One America.
Yeah, give us those results.
And this is pretty very interesting.
And the one I like most is they talked about the winner, and they interviewed 1,400 people, and this was done with Gravis. 1,400, that's a pretty good sample.
Yep.
And Farina, in the with dealing with these 1,400, she got 33% of the vote. Trump got 21%, and Rubio 16%. But the one I found most interesting was in the area, who would you vote for today if you had to vote? Watch this one. Farina, 22%, Trump, 21%, Rubio, 15%.
Not bad. Still the outsiders, though, pulling the big votes.
That's what I like. It's still the outsiders.
Still the outsiders.
Our WWE combination.
That's right. The outsiders. All right. We'll be back with more of the American Adversaries, John L. Casey, Mike McBath as well, when we come back after this short break.
Conservative FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando.
The Answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit up right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Welcome back to the show, folks, or welcome to the show. If you're just now tuning in, we appreciate ever so much you being out there. We are the American Adversaries. It is our drive time, prime time show as we come to you live from FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me tonight is, of course, the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. And we also have John L. Casey, now of Veritas Corporation. Nick LoCicero is on the Battle Bridge, and he'll be doing his show live tonight, WDW News, at 8 o'clock on our sister station 1520, WBZW. So make sure you tune into that, and Nick will be on the air. And he does take phone calls, right, Nick? Yeah, he takes phone calls. And we do, too. And the phone number is the same. It's 407-774-8255. If you'd like to call and chime in on a discussion about the debate last night, feel free to do so. Clearly, the Carly Fiorina outshone pretty much everybody else yesterday. But I do think that there was more than one winner. I think certainly she was a winner, if you will, and it wasn't a debate. It was some sort of gotcha question session. But I do think she acquitted herself very well. I do think also Donald Trump acquitted himself very well. He did what he does, and he did it the way he does it, which is usually pretty good. And the fact that he survived without any major gaffes came out standing, and I think that is basically all he had to do last night. None of the other candidates did anything really bad, but other than Marco Rubio, I'm not so sure any of the other candidates really helped themselves. One of the candidates that a lot of people seem to be disappointed with his performance last night was Ben Carson. And once again, in all fairness to Ben Carson and the other candidates, it was not a fair debate. They were not giving the candidates equal opportunity, if you will. And in a debate, each person in a debate is allowed to respond to a particular question or issue, and then they mix it up. This didn't happen last night. Donald Trump spoke the most. He had a little over 18 minutes of airtime speaking. He had a lot more than that on camera because the split screens were almost always with him and whoever else was talking. And he even commented on that this morning, saying he thought that was a bit much. He thought that the other candidates should have been allowed to speak more. He thought it was 3 hours. It was too long. And a lot of people agree with that as well. He spoke a little over 18 minutes. Jeb Bush spoke a little over 17 minutes, and then it went steadily down from there. Cruz, for instance, spoke for about 10 minutes. Carson spoke for about 10 minutes. Fiorina spoke for about 14 minutes. The worst, I believe, was Kasich at about 8 minutes. That's just unacceptable if we really want to know where the candidates stand on issues.
And you remember when Kasich started to speak, he literally pushed himself out there. Other words, it should be a lot smoother than where all of a sudden I have to just about butt in front of you and show no class
And that's embarrassing. It should be much better organized than that. Not very good.
Absolutely.
And not very fair.
Right. And so we're left wondering. We may know what one candidate thinks about one thing, but we don't know what they all think about that thing. So how can we compare them, really, and make a serious comparison as to who really has the better message, has the better solution, has the better approach, if you will? So all we're left with is sort of generalities. Who did better in that situation last night? And obviously, some people did better than others. For instance, there was the question about climate change, and I want to take advantage of this while we have John L. Casey here tonight, and we'll incorporate into this discussion about his new endeavor, Veritas Corporation. But the question about climate change was directed at Marco Rubio, and I thought he gave a pretty lukewarm answer because. Jake Tapper got a comment from him and then went to one of the other candidates for a quick comment and then came back to Marco Rubio and then said, well, I thought you'd be a little bit more adamantly against, I forget exactly how he phrased it, but he said, I thought you would be more opposed to climate change, global warming than that. Let's move on now. And you could hear in the background Ted Cruz going, wait a minute. If you want somebody against global warming, I'm right here. I'm a skeptic. Call on me. Let me speak. I'm a skeptic. And no. I'm sorry. We got to move on now.
But, you know, the one thing he did, he took the economic side of global warming, which really irritates the liberals because they want to talk about all the damage and the polar bears and the fish and all this. But they don't want to talk about what happens to the public,
yeah,
and
but,
the jobs
but,
lost.
But didn't he kind of leave loose ends?
Oh, he did, but yeah. I'm just saying, where did he go?
And John, your comment on that.
Well, I've been saying that for some months now, even before SSRC was closed and Veritas began. In fact, if you go to veritas.net, the website for my new company, my first commentary really addresses the fact that the people, the voters, are really not being served by either party. And let me explain that. And it goes back to Rubio's comment. Rubio's comment last night addressed the fact that man-made climate change, as espoused by the president and this administration, is doing lots of economic damage to people and really avoiding the science. Now, we saw this in the 2014 senatorial election, where the Republican National Committee put out the guidelines, I believe, that because they all came up with the same answer to climate change. Basically, it's an economic issue. We don't really care about the science. That left the science side of the argument clearly in the Democrats' hands. So bottom line, though, it worked. All of those Republican senators who used the economic ploy got elected, and the Democrats lost. So we're seeing the same thing here, and that's what I've written up specifically in the commentary, the first one for Veritas Corporation. It's a three-pager. It's lengthy, but talks about a lot of things.
Let me just read a little bit from it. And this is dated September 1st. It's been up on his website for a couple of weeks now. It's entitled, Where Do We Go From Here? I'm going to read from the fourth paragraph. This is John L. Casey weeks ago. He says, most GOP candidates, with the clear exceptions of Donald Trump, Senator Ted Cruz, and a few less vocal candidates, are still playing the game observed during the 2014 senatorial elections, which was we saw Rubio doing last night.
Yes.
And you're right. Cruz clearly was willing to get into the give and take, evidently, I think, about the science. And Donald Trump wasn't asked anything about it last night. But, and this supports your statement here, in an interview this morning when asked about climate, global warming, he said, no, I don't believe in that. That's nonsense. He says, what I think is going on is this is weather patterns. This is just weather.
Natural cycles, absolutely.
Exactly.
And the one that could have answered of all the candidates and done the bang-up job was Senator Ted Cruz. He knows this issue very well. He's the best debater up there, if you give him a chance.
That's why they specifically
kept him out of that question.
That question and the debate in general.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mike now on the line. Mike, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Hey, guys. Thanks. You guys are kind of tiptoeing around this a little bit. They censored that whole debate last night. Jake Tapper did. He'd ask a question, And if they started going down a road, and I mean within 10 seconds, that he did not approve of, he cut them off, number one. Two, Q Hewitt didn't ask any questions, and the stand-up lady, I don't even really know who she is, but the disproportion of the moderators asking, it was insane. I mean, I'd like to know the time that Hugh spoke. I'd like to know the time Dana spoke versus the time Jake spoke. And then he would literally say, he'd ask somebody a question, they'd start to go down, and he'd go, oh, okay, we'll move on.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't give them their 30 seconds or minute, whatever it was. They should have had running on the bottom of the screen the rules of the debate.
Yeah.
So that everybody knew what, and because it was so poorly managed. I mean, it was a free-for-all at one point, and then, to their credit, the debaters captured, they recaptured, you know, Rubio and Christie and different people started saying, hey, this sophomoric arguing, this thing about your careers, all this. And the first thing they did was attack, I don't want to say attack Donald Trump, but they made these stupid, why didn't they just ask him about his hair for 3 hours? What was the difference?
That's for the next debate.
they're saving that one for the, But you're right. You're right. It was not just by Jake Tapper was it censored, but it was done by CNN. John L. Casey explained it in the last segment. You know, CNN set this up to go ahead and say what you said again.
Well, basically, they're trying to make the Republicans look bad, and the way they did that was to get them to argue at each other over name-calling. And that's in the gutter as far as the people are concerned. It makes for lots of emotion, but it takes you away from substance, and ultimately it leaves a bad taste in the mouth of the voters. And that's why CNN structured it the way they did. That's why they didn't allow solid discourse on any major subjects, and instead tried to make it into a catfight.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, thanks for being out there. We're going to see you at the spaghetti eating contest.
I'll try to be there, sir.
Okay, we appreciate it. By the way, folks, that is coming up 1 week from Monday. Can you believe this?
I know.
We're that close.
I'm getting hungry, I'm not in it, because I'm going to eat the residuals. Whatever's left goes to me.
You're going to go to the leftovers. Huh? Might be a lot. By the way, that's one week from tonight. We're going to do a weigh-in here in the studio.
Know. And we got some big people.
We do.
Reggie Branch, what is he, 6'1", 265?
Yeah.
Well, we got Wendy Graves. She's, what, about 5'6", about 120?
Soaking wet.
But she's out there. She's going to be competing.
Yeah,
that's what we want.
We got 7 or 8 competitors
mono. So
far. We'll take a couple of more. That's a week from Monday. The 28th, September 28th. Of course, we'll be there doing the show live, starting at 5. The contest will begin at 6:30. You're all invited. No cover charge. We're going to have a jazz trumpeter there playing some music. Grant Malloy is going to be there picking and grinning with his banjo. We're going to draw the winner of our American Adversaries
Army. I know
there'll
be some weird-looking people walking around, and they're not Democrats. They're called the Pret Heads.
The Pret Heads
will be walking around.
The Wounded Officers Initiative folks will be there, so it's going to be a whole lot of fun. We want you folks to come out and join us. And the weekend before, you've got a rare special opportunity to see, hear, and meet Pastor Rafael Cruz, who will be speaking Saturday evening at 6 and Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. And it's free at the Aloma Church on 436 in Winter Park. And he'll have lunch with you, or you can have lunch with him and others, at Tuscaloosa Country Club at Sunday at 1, and there will be a $25 charge for that. That's for your meal, unless you're a pastor. Pastors can go free. And if you want to go to any of these events, please go to GoLifa, that's G-O-L-I-F-A, GoLifa.com to sign up. Now, yesterday, while pre-debate was going on, I taped an interview with Pastor Cruz, and we'll play that on tomorrow night's show. I think you'll find it very, very interesting. It's just a sample of what you'll get that weekend of the 26th and 27th. So take in some serious stuff with Pastor Cruz on the weekend, and then come over and take in a spaghetti eating Eaton Brawl.
Chris, it's going to be a blast. And what do, I think we have about seven entries right
now. Yeah, so far.
Right?
Yeah,
and I think there's room for one more. And remember, there's no charge to eat all the spaghetti you want. Now, you won't be able to box it and take it home.
That's right. Only the competitors eat
that's
for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And there'll be some meatballs thrown in, so it could be a delicious contest.
Make your reservation tonight at Cafe Positano for that contest. Call them over there at 407-774-8080. That's Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant all of Central Florida. 407-774-8080. We'll be right back. Rick's down the line. We'll take your phone call when we get back from this short break. Back to the show, folks, where we got our scientist, our American adversary's scientist in the studio with us. Of course, that's John L. Casey. He has now started an endeavor called Veritense Corporation. You can go to veritense.net. And you can communicate with him there and certainly see what he is up to and read his first commentary, Where Do We Go From Here?, where he talks about the presidential campaign in regards to climate science. Veritense.net. That's Veritense.net. Veritense.net. Let's take Rick's phone call real quick. Rick, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there tonight.
Well, I appreciate you guys, and I really love your show. And I just have to tell you, I must be thousands and thousands and thousands of years old because I've lived through the coming ice age, which was, I mean, you know, I'm actually only in my mid-60s.
I know what you're talking about.
I remember
about.
The headlines on all the magazines.
Oh, yes.
Magazine, the coming yep. ice age and global cooling and we're all going to die and whatever.
Yep.
And then it was global. And then then it was global warming. Or was there Y2K where we were all going to die after that?
Oh, from the computer, everything.
And then,
yep.
You know, and is there any kind? Now we got the now they had to change it to climate change. I've traveled extensively across this planet. We are by far the cleanest polluter in the world, for lack of a better term. You know,
well,
I mean, you know what I mean?
Well,
I mean, I've been to places where the rivers are black.
Yeah. Yeah.
The smoke, you have to wear a mask,
right?
Okay,
right.
You know, to protect yourself.
Right.
You know, is there any candidate that's got the spine to stand up and say, hey, you know, this is a big ruse that they're pulling on us?
Well, I think that's what Cruz was trying to say last night.
Senator Cruz, for sure.
And, yeah. And Trump did so a little bit this morning. But, John, go ahead and respond to what Rick said. Rick, don't go away. Go ahead, John.
Well, Rick's absolutely right. If you go back and look at time, we've actually had we're now in the seventh iteration of flip-flopping, as far as the media and the scientific community is concerned, between whether we're going into an ice age or whether we're going to bake to death. For the last 100 years, we've been through seven iterations back and forth. And it's all because we didn't have anyone that, or the science was simply not good enough to tell us what was really happening. Now it's different. Now we know that there are specific natural cycles of the sun that drive all these climate variations. And you can go back to all the other six and verify that each one of them was, in fact, solar-driven. Now we know why it's happening. Now we no longer need to fear the next climate change because we follow natural cycles, and we can tell you what's coming now.
Rick, don't go away. I'll get your comment to follow up. But real quick, John, are you concerned at all that there will be a boy cried wolf syndrome, if you will, after all of these dire predictions, that when it comes time that people should pay attention, they'll be so jaded over, they'll go, yeah, tell me another one?
Well, that's absolutely a side effect of the 30 years of global warming propaganda that we've had. I've given many, many presentations to the public, and one of the most remarkable and profound comments I got was from a lady who is perhaps 70 years old, very well educated, and she said, I no longer trust anyone with a PhD because of all of the phony science that the PhDs, the scientific community, have given us. Now, she's on an extreme side of that issue, but it points out that the public has been jaded by all of the bad science that we've had to go through for 30 years.
Did you see that today? There was a statistic that came out that said over 3 million people worldwide die from pollution, and that 1.4 million are mostly in China. Now, how do they know that there's 3 million people die from pollution? Where do they figure that out? I had a bad martini? No, and also,
well, you're absolutely right. And we'll find a study done by someone paid by the U.S. government that comes up with that kind of rationale. No question about it, Rick's right. In other parts of the world, the pollution of water and air is really bad, but it's not climate change. Pollution and climate change are separate issues. This administration has tried to combine the two, and for that matter, combine any weather event and call it man-made climate change. Rick's absolutely right.
Any follow-up on that, Rick?
Yeah, well, on a serious note, you ask any 10-year-old kid, and they don't think they're going to make it to old age because, we're all going to die. I mean, I hate to laugh about it, but, they've been indoctrinated into schools with this whole climate change baloney,
And that's part of
it. Somebody's got to stand up. Not somebody. Millions of somebody's got to stand up and say, enough of this already.
Hey, Rick, a basic question.
It's not proven.
A basic question.
How can they just keep shoving it down our kids' throats?
Basic question, Rick, is who do you think is going to kill the most in the nearest future, climate change or a nuclear war?
Yeah.
Well.
What's more dangerous, climate change or the deal with Iran?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have heard a question that like that
last night.
Wouldn't
that have been a great question? Yeah. You see them all just go, what?
Yeah. Well, and then allow them to answer it.
Answer it, right.
Yeah. So, Rick, did you see the debate last night?
All three. I saw the early and the late one, and I'm paying for it today.
You get a medal, sir.
I know. I've got in my outline, I got here, debate hangover. Yeah. I've had a little sort of mild headache all day. I don't think I got enough sleep last night. Hey, Rick, thanks so much for calling. Excellent phone call.
Very much.
I do think that Trump and Cruz will be the ones who will stand up on this particular issue and be quite clear that this is just it's a farce. It's a god-awful farce, and that it is going to have long-term repercussions, which is what Rick was talking about, because our children are being taught this nonsense.
And let me add to that my own personal experience in fighting this battle. The fault is on both parties, in my opinion. Again, going back to my commentary at veritas.net. I spoke up against the current next generation of science standards that's being implemented, already effectively has in Florida. And in that, if you look at the climate change, the climate science portion of that curriculum, it looks like it was written by Al Gore. It's just pathetic what we are forcing our children to learn, getting back to Rick's comment about our children are being told to fear what's happening in the future. Fear comes from lack of knowledge, lack of good understanding, lack of good science being taught in our schools. And unfortunately, this Republican administration here in Florida has approved that bad science being taught.
Well, wasn't it Rick Scott who said in response to a question about global warming, I'm no scientist?
Well, again, they're playing dumb.
That's what
they
I mean.
Don't want to confront the science. No. They're willing to stay with the economic.
Once again, it's the outsiders who are stepping up.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back on the other side on AM660TheAnswer.com. You are listening to the American Adversaries, and please visit John at veritense.net, veritence.net. We'll be right back.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries.
There you go. All right, we're back.
And you're both of age.
We're live. That is Mike McBath along with John L. Casey. I'm Christopher Hart. We'll be here with you until 7 o'clock. We appreciate you folks being out there listening to us on AM660TheAnswer.com or your smart device. We appreciate that. Once again, we're here because we're live. You can be a part of the show. Just please give us a call at 407-774-8255. And we were just talking with a caller earlier, and a little bit during the break there about the candidates. And, you know, we're encouraged that we're seeing something different in politics. And Donald Trump is the main personification of that. But were it not for Donald Trump, another outsider with capabilities would do. Because what we are sick and tired of is the same old, you know, manure, just new flies. We not only want new flies, we want to shovel the manure out the door and clean the mess up. And John L. Casey has written a great commentary that you can find at veritense.net. And I suggest after the show is over that you do check it out. And by the way, can they subscribe there to your website?
There's no subscription required when they go to the website. The commentary, which will change regularly, will be there. They can download it, pass it around. Also at the website, they'll see a page on my best-selling book, Dark Winter, how they can order it, an autograph version. And also the we have the archived global climate status reports from the old Space and Science Research Corporation that they can get for half the price that the SSRC used to have them. We also have the Global Cooling Awareness Project.
All your reports are archived there?
The most recent two are there, and if we get an email request, we'll post them all.
Okay. And I cut you off. You were saying something else.
Well, and we also have we're continuing the Global Cooling Awareness Project at Veritense that got started at the SSRC. This is very important. This is for people with hard science degrees who want to say, hey, you know, not only is there no global warming, but we've got a new cold climate starting to come in and sign up. And we've got PhDs from around the world that are signing up, people with bachelors of science in any science field. It's a great program, great opportunity to stand your ground, raise the flag of truth for climate science.
John, I was up in Buffalo this weekend, and it looks like the cold spell's already begun.
Well, we just the rain we got recently.
Oh, look at this.
Wasn't the rain we got like last weekend a cold front that came?
Yes, it was.
That's what I thought. I was watching college football on Saturday, mm-hmm. and they were the Michigan. I don't remember if it was Michigan. It must have been Michigan State. But they were playing in Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan State was playing Oregon. So
I believe that's the game I was watching. Okay. It was a daytime game, and at game time, it was 55 degrees with a 15-mile-an-hour wind blowing.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Buffalo this weekend, remember, what is it, just the first part of September, it was 48 degrees. And that was the low for the day.
We should be prepared for record winters for the next 15 years and then a 10 to 20-year constant bad cold weather. And in fact, the trend, if you follow what's happening in the southern hemisphere, is still continuing from the brutal winter we just went through, 2014-15. One of my scientists down in Canberra, Australia, said they've had the worst cold temperatures in 18 years.
Wow.
So, again, if we see what history says that whatever happens in the southern hemisphere, we pick it up later in the northern hemisphere.
Okay. Just got a request to spell your website. It's Veritense, V-E-R-I-T-E-N-C-E. So there's three E's in it. Veritense.net, V-E-R-I-T-E-N-C-E.net, Veritense.net. And should one of the establishment candidates who are wishy-washy on this somehow get the nomination and get elected, what do you think that would mean for us?
Establishment candidates give you establishment policies, and that's not good news.
So we just continue on in the same way we have.
We're not getting served. The voters are not getting served by either party right now. The Democrats are pushing bad science. The Republicans are ignoring the science altogether in favor of economic
punishment. That's their counter to bad science. Just, you know, some people believe, well, geez, I want to take care of myself economically, so I'm against that.
Right.
But we're not getting a real answer.
There's a 50-50 proposition there. Even though the Republicans have adopted apparently the correct political strategy based on the 2014 senatorial election, by pushing economics and not the climate science,
which is what Rubio did last night,
we should expect that to continue for the party. I don't see them changing. The problem with that and the problem with the Democrats' bad science to start off with is the people will be unprepared for the new cold era. And that has been my mission for the last 8-plus years that I started at Space and Science Research Corporation and will continue at Veritas in a different, more vocal form, I might add, than I was able to do running a team of climate scientists.
And you do point out in your commentary, and you have said here on the air, that there are a couple of exceptions. Most notably would be Ted Cruz.
Senator Ted Cruz, I have said on TV interviews that he is the best guy among the group in terms of knowledge and ability to debate and personal courage of conviction to stand up and tell the truth about the climate.
Right. But wouldn't you think, Chris, I mean, reality is they take the economic side. They know it's a winning aspect. They could tie your science into that just to even give them more substantial credibility and to begin to educate, you know, further and further. I mean, I just can't see any reason why they wouldn't if they'll take the time to learn.
That's the issue.
And that's problem. There we go. Yeah.
But let's look at it from the man on the street standpoint. Climate science, given all the propaganda and all the confusing data and scientific reports, it's pretty damn hard. Pardon my language, but I feel passionate about this. It's pretty difficult to sift through what's right and what's wrong when we listen to all these reports and these scientists talking. We need it boiled down to simple things. The Republican Party could do that with just a few hours of instruction. They could tell the truth. They could teach it simply and talk to the
just
people.
Talking points,
so the people would know what's
points,
going
right?
on.
Yeah.
But they're avoiding that, too, and that's what bothers me.
Yeah, to you Michael Medved types out there, if Donald Trump can figure it out, why can't the rest of them? Let's go to Rick on the line right now. Rick, thank you for your call tonight. We appreciate you being out there. We're getting some static, Nick. Can we try that again? Okay, we'll see. We'll work on that phone call. All right. Evidently, we can't. Then Rick, if you want to call back, please do call back at 407-774-8255. He wanted to ask something about the climate. And once again, John L. Casey's website is veritense.net, V-E-R-I-T-E-N-C-E.net, veritense.net. And you told us last time, but to refresh our memories, what Veritense, how you came up with that name?
Well, the term veritense comes from two words, the Latin word veritas, meaning true, and science. So I combine the two, and it comes up with veritense. But basically, that's what I've been after for the last 8 years with Space and Science Research, and will continue with Veritense Corporation. Pursuit of truth in science. Regardless who gets hurt, I'm going to tell the truth. Regardless of what the future brings, I will give you my best estimate of what's coming and what you should do to prepare for it.
All right. Let's take Rick's phone call. He got back with us. Rick, let's try it again. Thanks
again. All right. Can you hear me now?
Excellent, yes.
Perfect.
All right. I have, before I get to my main topic, I just want to say the best part of the debate is when Chris Christie said that people don't want to hear two people arguing who is a worse CEO of a company. That was kind of childish.
Yeah. Well, I thought Chris Christie was pretty good last night. He showed a pretty effective sense of humor. And
I'm a Democrat.
I'm sorry?
You know I'm a Democrat, so
yes.
I watched it anyway.
Yeah, well, good for you.
But I have some other ideas. I have the three stupidest ideas of 2015. Number one, and I'm a Democrat, the Iran deal, I couldn't believe that we have to defend them if they're attacked. That means even against Israel.
Yeah.
I shook my head at that one. I just don't believe that.
I know.
Does Bill Nelson know about that? And I'm a big Bill Nelson fan.
And how could you have a deal that requires verification that you let the party that you need to verify if they're doing things right to be the party that verifies that they're doing things right?
Yeah.
I know. As an American Jew, I kind of resent it. You know,
I understand.
The second idea, you don't really believe, this one you probably won't agree with me on, that we can actually send 11 million people, go into their homes and send them back to Mexico. I mean, come on, really.
Well, first of all, I don't know that it's 11. We don't know what the number is. Second of all, if they did ever start a serious roundup, if you want to use that phrase, I think a lot of folks would go back on their own. And third of all, main thing is that it begins the process of, how should we say, the melting pot again. In other words, if you're going to be in this country, you're going to have to be here to be an American. You're not going to come in here and be in a Mexican and go back to Mexico or something like that. It just begins that process. But having said that, You know, there's a lot of people out there who just assume that they all do get rounded up and sent out. But I'll say this, too. Lindsey Graham let the cat out of the bag last night about illegal immigration in the earlier debate. I don't know if you saw that one or not, Rick.
Yeah, I don't remember what he said.
Okay, he said that, look, we have a Social Security system that when it first started out, we had, I think he said something like 20 people paying in for each one person that was drawing Social Security. It's now down to two. Whether we like it or not, we need these illegal people to start paying into the Social Security system. So he really let the cat out of the bag. That's why we have allowed these illegals to come here en masse, is because we think that they're going to somehow replace all the workers that we have aborted who are no longer able to be in the workforce.
But it's fiscally irresponsible. I mean, that's, you know, we can't. I mean, that's a dumb idea. It's like Nazism to me. I mean,
well,
going into people's homes and grabbing them, saying, you got to get out of here. And
well, first of all,
impractical.
Well, first of all, there aren't home is one word. House is another, I suppose. We may be getting into semantics here. But first of all, they won't be able to own their own house. The sad thing is that we encourage them to live the life of a felon, if you will, to do everything under the table, to have false identities. And then studies have come out. Mike, you had some numbers
right,
the other day.
Just today, there was a story out about illegal immigrants are three times as likely to commit murder as members of the general public. And then you add, obviously, theft and the other wonderful things that come along with crime. You know, this is a situation that you really have to weigh economics. You know, are these people capable of taking care of themselves? Or are we going to carry these people? That's why I think there has to be educational requirements. I think there has to be job capabilities on their part. You know, this isn't America 1880. This is a new time and era. And we got to make sure, in my opinion, I don't think you should let one person in until you balance the budget. Balance the budget so both parties work toward that. And then we are taking care of our people, and then we'll start letting the best
in. There has to be a better way, is what I'm saying. But the third idea, I just wanted to.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Guns on campus, I think, is one of the worst ideas I've ever heard, but that's, I'm sure you'll disagree with me.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with you with the students, but I do think that there should be...
Just get some armed guards.
Yeah, just some supervisors
exactly.
type people.
Right.
Right. I don't want the students running around with it.
So maybe we can find some mid-ground there.
Yeah, I think we can.
We found mid-ground on that, but one more thing. I don't know if you heard Michael Medved. I like Michael Medved, even though I'm Democrat. I am so disgusted with Ann Coulter as an American Jew. Despicable.
What did she say? I know she said something, Chris.
She tweeted out last night, I think, in terms of the...
But I didn't get what it was.
How many Jewish voters do you think are out there? How many effing Jewish voters do you think? In other words, she thought they were spending too much time on that topic. And she's always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I think she's a smart woman. She's written some
smart?
Pretty good.
Oh God!
Well, geez. She's written some pretty good things. She's let's just say I wouldn't be asking her out on any dates.
I hope not.
But yeah, I understand where you're coming from there, and I can understand why you'd be upset at that.
Of course, it
mystified me why she would do something like that.
I'd like to hear some other callers what they thought of that. It's just. Disgraceful.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll try to. We're running out of time rapidly, though. But thanks, Rick, for your call. And I hope you come out to our spaghetti eating contest, man. You need to come out.
Can't eat spaghetti sauce, but I can eat clam sauce.
Hey, they have that.
By the way, I got Roxy Pacific in the mail, and I told them a long time ago it was great. I know it's great and everything, but the whole thing spilled out, and it was an empty bottle.
Is that right? I tell you what, stay on the line. Give Nick your address. They just sent me some sample bottles. I will mail you one. Make sure you get it.
Well, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate you being out there, sir. All right. We'll take a break and be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time as we wrap up tonight's show. Mike, I got a couple questions for you. First of all, they did or did not raise interest rates today, and why? And football.
Well, on the interest rate side, unfortunately, they did not raise interest rates. Everybody was waiting with bated breath, and supposedly that was one of the great reasons for such gyrations in the marketplace and everything else. And Yellen came out today and said, no. And
did they say they're going to do it in December, or just leave it up in the air?
Later in the year, and remember, the next two times would be October and December.
When they meet again.
So when they meet again. And one of the reasons, or actually there's multiple reasons, we all know them, it's getting to be an old story. You know, the economy's soft here. The economy is even softer worldwide. We don't have any inflation. If anything, we fear deflation. And it's a case that, you know, I personally think, as do many economists, that you could see rates go up a little bit. And the problem is with keeping rates this low, which they have now for 8 years, is you have so many massive retired people in this country. In the past, the money markets were yielding 4 or 5%, and these people were living on 0.25%, which forces investors, here we go, that's what moves the market,
to take risky investments
like junk bonds or more aggressive stocks, you know, or
to try to get a decent return.
Go get dividends.
Yeah.
And these people are really out on the limb, and as they see, the volatility that's present is not good. So that's that. And then in
how did the market take it?
Well, the market today was up and down and ended down. It was really, I call, not a very good answer. It was down about 64 points, which is nothing. Oil, as you know, in the last few days moved
really
up about...
Really some big gyrations.
Yeah. I mean, it was 100 points each side, 100 points sustained age. That's 200. We've seen 400, 500. So
in the market.
It wasn't, and it was only down 64 points relative to where the market is. That's nothing.
All right, let's get on to some more important news. Another football game tonight.
That's exactly right. Well, it's Peyton Manning. And
he didn't do so good last Sunday.
I agree with you.
You think it's the new coach?
Everybody goes like this, that no, I think it's age. Now, you know his number is 18, his real number on his jersey.
Right.
How many years do you think he's played in the NFL?
18.
Right.
Wow.
So
wow.
I don't think it's the coach or anything. I mean, this sounds like a terrible word, but he looked like a stiff out there. And my concern is because he's had that neck problem and everything.
Right.
You know, how long do you think you're going to be Jack B. Nimble when you've been beaten up for 18 years? You play a very precarious position. And, you know, he's a real head guy in the sense of how he, you know, does his offense. But, I mean, they were leaking through. And when they blast him, something bad's going to happen. I think, Peyton, you better move to the sideline. And they barely won. You know, and tonight we'll see. And
who are they playing? Oh.
That's who. I'm on the Peyton Manning. I picked Denver.
No wonder.
Actually, I think they're playing Kansas City. Yeah, it is Kansas City. It is Kansas City.
Yeah.
But I picked Denver. I'm in a big contest that's on one of the other TV stations this week.
WESH,
bet against
we can tell me. Channel 2. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I picked my... picks for this week, and I have picked Denver. I'll give you a couple others. Tampa plays New Orleans. I think that's an easy win. I'll go with New Orleans, right? Would you?
Yeah.
And then, sadly enough, this is an easy win, I think. Miami, Jacksonville, I'll take Miami. I don't think that's a tough one. And this is one, Dallas, Philly, which I think is, you know, that could be controversial.
Usually a pretty good game.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Dallas because of Romo. And, you know, he pulled the game out of the hat last week.
Some would say the Giants gave it to him.
And then my final pick, which is an emotional one, is Buffalo versus New England.
Yeah.
And you know what? I got to live with it. I'm going with Buffalo. And the game is in Buffalo. New England had, I think, close to 30 points scored against them last week. The Bills have a phenomenal defense. That's a very interesting pick, but I'm going to go with the Bills.
Yeah.
So
that's the game to watch.
Yeah, we'll see that.
I think so.
And I think the crowds there was, you know, they're sold out.
Is it going to be in Buffalo?
It's in Buffalo. They're sold out. And last week they performed exceptionally well. They have this kid, T. Taylor, who sat the bench for 4 years with the Ravens. He comes to Buffalo, and the guy was on fire.
What does he play?
And he's the quarterback. And then they have McCoy, the running back, who is big time. And, you know, the offense scored, I think, 34 points. Pretty good when
not
you got
bad.
The second best defense in the NFL.
Yeah,
so nice combination. Maybe they can, you know, I just wish we'd have had Brady. He should have suffered at least 2 games, you know. That means we'd have got by without him playing.
Yeah, Nixon there, shaking his head. No, it's going to be New England.
You know, see how they turn on you like rabid dogs in this place? You know, I got to go eat dinner. This is getting out of control.
It's about that time.
But it should be a good NFL weekend. Should be a lot of fun.
John?
I'll arrange for snow only on the New England team.
And right. Make sure it's on the other sidelines, you know.
All right. Well, once again, John, I want to thank you for being a part of the American Adversaries Army, being our resident scientist.
Always glad to.
And please visit his new website called Veritence.net, V-E-R-I-T-E-N-C-E, Veritence.net. And we'll be seeing you tomorrow night with more of the American Adversaries. Once again, we'll be playing that interview that I did last night with Pastor Rafael Cruz. And don't forget to catch him on the 26th or the 27th, and then on the 28th, come out and catch us at our Spaghetti Eating Challenge, our first annual. That's going to do it for tonight, everybody. Thanks a lot.
FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando.